When you think about hospitality, I want you to know that I'm no expert in this field. I've read no books on it, but it seems as though the Lord has chosen to use my home as kind of a way station or a hotel or whatever you want to call it. And I didn't start out to be that way at all. It just kind of happened. And so when I was talking with Joyce, I said, "What in the world should I be talking about?" And she said, "Just tell how the Lord has used your home and how he's made it possible for you to do this." So I got to thinking a little bit about it, and I thought I originally thought it was going to be a panel. We're still going to have a panel, and you're all going to share in it. You're going to be part of it. So if I ask any of you to define the word hospitality, I'm sure you come up with some different things. But Webster defines it as giving or affording a generous welcome and entertainment to guests or strangers, the disposition to extend friendly treatment to guests. You know, we could stop our discussion this afternoon right there. Is the disposition to extend friendly treatment to guests. And I know it sounds easy to say, but sometimes it isn't easy to do. And, you know, when you start out to entertain or to have guests into your home, some people go into a real frantic tailspin. And I hope this is not your situation, because it can be a real fun and rewarding experience. And after you have been reading the Bible for a while, I'm sure many of you have been through the Bible many times, and you'll know these passages I'm talking about. But the example of hospitality is given very often in the Bible. And if you're aware of it, you'll be absolutely amazed at how many references are made to being hospitable to people. And after all, that is one of the attributes of being a Christian, is showing your love to everyone. And you know, the song is, "They shall know we are Christians by our love." And the Lord told us that this is one way you can tell a Christian, is your love one to another. But one of the outstanding examples of hospitality in the Testament was Abraham and Sarah. And that's in the 18th chapter of Genesis. And I'm going to just start picking on one who has a Bible. And I'd like someone to look up Genesis 18, chapter 18, and read verses 2 and 3 for me. All right, you've got yours right there. Wait a minute, they can't hear you in the back. She has a soft voice like I do.
"And when he lifted up his eyes and looked, behold, three men were standing opposite him. And when he saw them, he ran from the tent door to meet them, bowed himself to the earth, and said, 'My Lord, if now I have found favor in your sight, please do not cast me from the fire.'"
All right, and then does anyone want to fill in the rest of that story? What happened? This is Abraham. He's sitting out in front of his tent. It doesn't say what time of the day it is, but it was not mealtime, or they wouldn't have been sitting out in front of the tent. Abraham lived in a desert country. It probably was not just real cool like it is right here this afternoon with these breezes blowing through. And these strangers came, and what did Abraham do? He ran to meet them, didn't he? And greet them and welcome them. And he went one step further. If we read it further on in there, he had told Sarah to get up and kill a goat and prepare a meal. And she did that. And she had that for the strangers. And she probably had plenty of servants to help her with this. But even so, it wasn't something that all of us just wait around hoping that we'll have to prepare a meal on a hot afternoon with no air conditioning and no ovens, electric ovens, and give them to some stranger, three strangers that appeared at the gate. We're going to talk a little more about this a little later. Would somebody like to find Genesis 19 and read 1, 2, and 3? Got it right there, okay. Oh, another soft voice.
"Angel came to Sodom in the evening, and Lot was sitting in the gate of Sodom. When Lot saw them, he rose to meet them and bowed himself with his face to the earth and said, 'My lord, turn aside, I pray you, to your servant's house and spend the night, and wash your feet, and you may rise up early and go on your way. They said, no, we will spend the night in the street. They urged him strongly, so they turned aside to him and entered his house, and he made them a feast, and bathed unleavened bread, and they ate.
Okay, now Lot had a wife. And you can be sure when it says he made them a feast and baked them bread that his wife did it. Because that's the way they did things in those days. And they pretty well do them that way this today too, don't we? But Lot was waiting at the gate of the city and welcoming strangers to his home to come in. And so his wife entertained guests often, I'm sure. Probably had never seen them before. And again, a feast was prepared. Special things were done for these strangers that were coming into the city. These are a couple examples in the Old Testament. There's a couple more we'll talk about too later. But also in the New Testament, the early Christians were known for their hospitality. In fact, one of the quotes I read said that the early Christians made it one of their principal parts of their duties to practice hospitality. So much so, in fact, that it was commented on often by the heathens. They were hospitable to each other as well as to the heathens of the day. Would somebody find Romans 12:13 for me? And we're going to talk a little more about New Testament principles of hospitality. And Hebrews 13:2. So, Romans, all right. Okay, can you read that again a little louder and I'll kind of... All right, it's something that we are told in the New Testament that we must do is to be given to hospitality. In 13:12, Hebrews? Anybody? Okay. My glasses don't do me that much good.
Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive themselves their measure.
Nope, that's not the same one I'm looking at. Maybe I've copied it down wrong. Yes, Do not neglect to show
hospitality.
Okay. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, because you have often entertained strangers unaware. And this is exactly what Abraham and Sarah were doing, was entertaining strangers unaware. It's exactly what Lot was doing. He was entertaining strangers unaware, or angels unaware of what he was doing. So even today, you may be entertaining somebody that you have no idea who it is when you invite a stranger into your home. And another real principle, I'm just talking about biblical principles of hospitality now, and we're going to talk about the practical things a little later. But right now, we need somebody to read Leviticus 19:33 and Deuteronomy 10:18. All right? Deuteronomy, or Leviticus 19:33? Don't be so shy. Okay? When a stranger resides with you in your land, you shall not do him wrong, in her version. We have in our land today many, many foreign students. Many, many people here in business, foreigners in business. And many people who are aliens in our land. We have the largest number of aliens of any country in the world. And the Lord tells us that we must be hospitable to these people and not do them wrong in any way. And they're away from home. I'm sure they're terribly homesick. And just a little kindness from any one of us would mean so much to them. Deuteronomy 10:18. And there's a reason why the Lord tells us that we must be especially kind to aliens. And Deuteronomy 10:18 tells us why. He does justice to the fatherless and the widows, loves foreigners, and gives them food and clothing. Is that the end of that passage? Okay, he says, you yourself too must love foreigners because you too were aliens in the land of Egypt. He was commanding his people that they must be hospitable and love their aliens in their country because there was a time when if they hadn't been taken care of by aliens, there wouldn't even been a Hebrew race. They were down in Egypt, they were starving to death, and the Egyptians took them in and they became a great nation there before things went bad for them. So it's a principle of the Bible that we're to be hospitable to not only people around us, but we are to be very consciously hospitable to aliens in our land and to our nation. We also read about the angels unaware, and in Matthew, in the 10th chapter, it talks about giving the drink of water to the stranger. You know, you're doing it unto me. How many of you, you're familiar with that one, aren't you? As you do it unto the least of them, you're also doing it unto me. And in Matthew 25, it says that in the day of judgment, if you haven't been kind to the one unaware, that this will be remembered by the Lord in the day of judgment. And that's kind of a warning, I think, that we're really to take this matter of hospitality seriously. I think that there's been some real principles. We're getting more into more practical things now. But I think there's been some real, and I'm not saying the Bible isn't practical. That's not what I meant. But I mean everyday how-tos and how we do it and how you do it, and we're going to share with each other. But I think one of the main principles that was brought out in the story of Abraham and Sarah is that it's not always a convenient time to have guests in your home, is it? And those are the hardest times, but I'm sure that you'll find that these are the times that are the most rewarding to you. Sarah had to go out and see to the slaughtering of an animal, to the cooking of it, to the preparing of it, and to the serving of it. She'd already probably done her chores for the day. These were three strangers she'd never seen before. And I'm sure if she were like me, and she probably was similar in a lot of ways, maybe the first thought that went through her mind was, why do I have to do this? You know, they can go down to the closest 7-Eleven or Wendy's or something and get a hamburger. And I will admit there have been times when my husband called from work and said, is it all right? And a lot of times he doesn't say, all right. He just says, I'm bringing so many home for dinner, you know. And my first thought is, why don't we go out? Or why don't we go somewhere? Or why do they come here for dinner? And, of course, the reason being is being in a home where you can relax and enjoy and talk with people is so much more conducive to in just getting to know each other. Perhaps this is someone that you are having a chance to talk to about the Lord, and over your own kitchen table will be so much more convenient and open, and they will be so much more open than in some restaurant somewhere. So this is one of the real reasons what we're given to hospitality, is it gives us a chance to share our faith with other people. It gives us a chance to show the Lord's love in our lives, and it gives us a chance to be a witness in our own home. And I'm sure you've all prayed for that opportunity and didn't realize how easy it could be. So it's not always convenient. It's not always a convenient time when you're asked to entertain guests, and you have to learn to cope. And another thing that I've heard ladies say is, oh, you have such a lovely home. It's so easy for you to entertain. And you know, I do have a lovely home, and it was a gift of the Lord's, and I didn't have it in mind when I got it. I had, at that time, three small children in a two-bedroom house, and we were just running out the windows. And I just said, oh, Lord, it would be so nice if I could have one more bedroom. Well, we wound up with 6 bedrooms and a big house. And I really didn't want all of that to take care of. And you know, that house is never clean, really clean, from stem to stern at one time. It just would be a full-time job for me and a staff. And we don't have me and a staff, and we only have me part of the time. So I really think the Lord did this for a reason. Because people are more comfortable in a home setting. If they come into your home and, you know, I'm not advocating that you let your house go to pot and rack and ruin, but I am advocating that you be very relaxed about your home, and that it isn't your God, that you don't make a fetish of keeping everything just spotless. Have you ever been in a home that was just spotless, and the minute you read a magazine and looked at it and then laid it down, somebody grabbed it and put it in the stack straight because you didn't put it in the stack straight? Have you ever been in a home like that? It's terribly uncomfortable, isn't it? So if somebody comes in and they found out, at one time I had 3 teenagers and they came and they were all involved in sports. They came in the door and found a pair of tennis shoes and dirty socks beside them by the front door. You know, it happened a lot of times. More often by the back door, because everybody comes in my back door. And they don't even get a chance to see my nice living room. They're in my dirty kitchen from the very minute they walk in the house. And it seems to relax them more. And it depends on your attitude, how you handle the situation, whether they're relaxed or not. So I'm saying, if you have a home that is your home, I don't care how little it is or how big it is, if you want to entertain in it, the Lord will make a way for you. He will make it comfortable for you to do so, and the people that come will feel comfortable. And I would say that, you know, you should not worry about the last spring house cleaning or the last fall house cleaning. Just, you know, pick it up. Keep it reasonably clean, whatever you feel comfortable living in, and people will enjoy coming to your house. And a relaxed attitude is catching. If you can be relaxed with your guests, you know, there have been times when I really didn't realize I was having guests until the morning of or something, and it turned out to be a fairly large, you know, meeting. We have a large living room, so. And everybody knows that our house is open for any, you know, whatever they need. And they'll call and say, could we possibly use your house or something? And I'd say, sure. And they usually bring in all the food and everything. But, you know, I feel like I really should have the living room vacuumed. And there have been times when I'm still running that vacuum when I hear people coming up the driveway. And I haven't quite finished. So I just unplug it and put it away and think, okay, Lord, it was your idea. And you know all about it, and from here on, it's your party, you know, and meet them at the door relaxed. And it just really does help them to feel relaxed if you can be relaxed. And I think you can tell from my being here that I probably am fairly unconscious and probably can't get up too tight about too many things anyway, which has been a real attribute for me, and I appreciate God's gift of that. And I think that you need to dedicate your home to the Lord, no matter what size it is. I know when we bought our house, I said, oh, well, I wanted a bigger house, but I didn't want this. It'll take me a week to vacuum. It's really not that big, but it just looked that big from the tiny house I was in. And he said, well, this is the Lord's house, and he will do with it. If we get this house, it will be the Lord's house, and he'll work out the details. So I decided he was right, and from the day I moved in, I would have to realize that it was the Lord's house. So I think you really have to be conscious of that, that it isn't, you're an innkeeper, so to speak. And the Lord has given you a home. And my husband goes to work every morning about 7 or 7:30 at the latest, and he's on duty from then on. And I figure that maybe I should be on duty from about 11 on. I don't want to be on duty at 7:30. But if I could be on duty from about 11 on, you know, then then I could really say that the Lord could use my home any way he wanted to. And sometimes it's earlier than that. But just, you know, to have some kind of an idea in your mind that this is the Lord's home, and you're the innkeeper, and he can use it the way he wants. And leave it to the Lord. Sometimes you'll have guests day in and day out for 2 or 3 weeks in a row. And then you say, okay, Lord, that's enough. Be very honest about the whole thing. I'm tired. And give me a break. And he will. It's super the way he knows our capabilities and what we can handle and what we can't. But just leave it to him to work out your social details and schedules. I think you'll find it really fun. Another thing that I had to do, and that's the hardest of all for we as women, and that is to evaluate your possessions. You know, if you have a home that's open, you cannot have anything in it that is too valuable for you to be broken, to have something happen to it, or that would really throw you in an uproar if something happened to it. Out where people can be, because accidents happen. And I know when my kids were in high school, we used to have young life clubs in the house. And we'd have anywhere from 80 to 150 in the house, sitting in the living room. You know, just we'd move all the furniture out, and they'd sit just jammed in, and then they'd leave, and we'd move all the furniture back. And I really, really had some struggles with this, because I thought, oh, those kids are going to tear up the house. I've only, in all the years that we had Young Life in and out of our house, and we're just starting again because we have a girl in high school, I only had one thing broken in all that time, and it was very repairable. And so that taught me a lesson. In fact, the sad part of it is that we have a fence in our neighborhood. It's kind of a little drive place, and all the neighbors, one person's put up a wooden fence when they first were building in that place to keep the heavy trucks from running over their lawn, their sprinklers. And then, so everybody put up the same fence. And it's a narrow road, and it's hard to get in and out of there. And my fence has been broke, bashed in more times by my ladies from the church than any of the 100 and some Young Life kids that were in and out of there. So you just really have to evaluate your possessions. And if you have something, if you're going to use your home for the Lord, if you have something that's you really, really can't give to him and say, if it's gone, it's gone, that's fine, then you should either put it up in the attic or put it under your bed or do something with it. And, you know, I really thought I had this battle conquered. And one day, a real good friend of mine came, and she's one of these that when she comes, it's yoo-hoo, hoo-hoo-hoo, you know. Do you have anyone like that that comes to visit you? And I heard Millie, and I went to the back door, and there she was with a Tiffany lamp, an old one, a beautiful old Tiffany lamp. And she says, you know, every time you're in my home, you remark about how beautiful that old lamp is. And she says, you know, I said, someday I'm going to give that to Bess Perkins. It doesn't mean that much to me. And she said, I woke up this morning and the Lord said, today's the day, Millie. And so she brought that lamp to me. And I put it in my living room on a desk. And it is gorgeous. And I really thought, oh, now, Lord, you're testing me. If that lamp, because it was a gift like it was, and because I think it is so beautiful, if that ever gets broken, I'm going to die. I'm just going to die. And so for the next year, every time I knew a group was coming, I toted that lamp up to my bedroom. And I'm not the most graceful person in the world. And one day I almost tripped and fell with that going up the stairs. In fact, my husband says, Bess, don't ever take a job at a nitroglycerin factory. You wouldn't live for a week. And I thought, okay, I get the message. You know, this was given to me in love. It's to be shared in love. So I left the lamp down on the desk in the living room. It's never had an accident yet. But if it does, I'll know that that's what the Lord had in mind. And probably we'll be able to find somebody that can repair it if it happens. But you really have to check out your attitudes towards your possessions. That's scriptural too, isn't it? Now, how many, I don't know, I'm not going to ask questions. But another thing that I find is a real hard thing for many women to overcome is they just don't want people in their house. They just don't want people in their house because it's a lot of work. And not a lot, but it's extra work. And one time at an NAV conference, probably similar to this, somebody was talking on having Bible studies and being the leader of Bible studies. And the leader said, you know, I've heard more people say, I can't lead a Bible study. I just can't do it. And he says, you know what they're really saying is, I don't want to do it. I just simply don't want to do it. It isn't that you can't, because the Lord will provide the means, you know, he'll give you the ability to do anything. It's just what you're really saying is, I don't want to do it. And I really feel like that's an attitude with a lot of us in our homes. We can say, oh, I can't have company Saturday night. It's just, there's too much to do. You know, I don't have time. My dishes don't match. My drapes are dirty. You know, any little excuse that comes up. And what we're really saying is, I don't want to do it. I just don't want to do it. I don't want to go to the extra effort. So I think we need to check our attitudes, too, about hospitality and entertaining. Okay, what can we do? We've decided that we're going to open our homes to the Lord, and we're going to invite, let people come. Just let the Lord arrange it. Let husband bring them home. Let friends bring them in, whatever. And we're all set up in business. Now, what are we going to do? I think the first thing you need to do, how many of you work from lists? Okay, if you're not organized, you've got to work from lists, don't you? And so I've got to work from lists. But what you need to do, really, is to write down, if you're going to have a dinner party, your menu. You need to do it a day before, or 2 days, or however you work. Some of you have to work 3 days ahead. Some of you can do it in a couple hours. But whatever your time schedule is, write your menu. Write down what you want to get done before they come. Maybe the little kids have done this to the patio doors. I don't happen to have any, but this apparently is a real problem if you've got sliding doors, little fingerprints all over, or fly spatters or whatever. Write down the things. You walk through your house and see what really bugs you, and you write down those things that you want to get done before they come. And so then it's much easier to do something if you know what you got to do than to stew about what you're going to have to do. So make your list of what you want done in your home. Make your list of the menu that you're going to serve and work from it. And don't, you know, just keep on to it and it'll happen, just fall into place. And for heaven's sakes, have at least 2 standby meals. Whenever Will comes in the house and he smells barbecue, he says, oh, who are we having for dinner? My standby menu is barbecue, baked potatoes, and green beans, because we have a big garden and I can my own green beans, and I always feel like that's got to be a treat. And it's real easy to open a can of beans, you see. And green beans and a lettuce salad. And usually for dessert, I'll have either a pineapple upside down cake, or I usually freeze peaches in the summer, so I'll thaw some peaches and have over ice cream. Couldn't be easier, could it? But it's easy to do. It's my pat menu. And I could do it asleep, you know, because you fix the barbecue, you can put it in the beef in the morning. If you think ahead and do it the day ahead, you can even take it back to the store and they'll slice it for you. So, you know, there these things you can do ahead and have a menu. So the first thing I do when I'm having guests is I get the food ready. The second thing I do, and then, you know, the night before, I go with a paper sack in my hand, I go around the living room and the dining room and the downstairs bedrooms and bathroom, and I pick up the house. It takes about 10 minutes at night before you go to bed. Just pick up everything, the trash, and put it in here and straighten up things that are out of the way. Get the vacuum out and put it in the middle of the floor. And the next morning when you get up, it's so easy to plug in that vacuum and dust if it's all ready to go. That's what I do about getting the house ready. I quit that at noon. If I've been gotten so many interruptions and can't get at it, I don't worry about the house afternoon. But about 3 hours before the guests arrive, I take my shower and get ready. There is nothing more frustrating to me than to be dressing when my guests are coming to the door, because I keep putting off. I've got one more thing to do, and I keep putting it off, putting it off. So my line of attack is get the food ready, get the house generally picked up, get myself ready, and then do all, and just then you have until they come to do everything you'd like to do, and you're never going to get everything that you'd like to do anyway. So you just, go until you run out of time. So that way you can be a relaxed hostess, and it's catching to your guests. Get help from your family. How many of you have house guests and treat them like royal guests? They don't like it. I found that out. They like to be treated like one of the family. When they come in the kitchen and say, "Is there anything I can do?" say, "Yeah, set the table for me, will you?" And they love it. And if you're, just let them help you. Find something for them. In fact, sometimes they feel more comfortable if you'll find something for them to do. So let people help you. And what do you do with the people that come a half an hour before you invited them? Wouldn't you like to wring their necks? Put them to work. I'm always busy in the kitchen, and if I'm having a dinner party or dinner guests, and Will usually doesn't get home from work until the 11th hour. So my common thing is, will you welcome my guests? Will you show them where to put their coats, or if it's winter or whatever, let them be the ones at the front door when the doorbell rings. Will you answer the doorbell for me? Or let them help you finish making the salad that you have to do at the last minute, or fill the water glasses or whatever. But, just say, "Oh, I'm so glad you came early," If you want to stress the "came early," maybe they won't do it the next time. But just say, "Well, I'm so glad you came early. I'm really needing a little help," and that will really put them at ease. And you probably do need the help if you're like me. So get help from whoever you can. Now, these I'm talking about just evening guests. But if you open the home to your Lord, to the Lord, your house, to the Lord's work, you're going to have some week-long guests. We just sent two little girls back to South America that were there for a month. And these are different kind of problems, and you'll have to just kind of roll with the punches on those. But if they're there in your home for a week or more, they become kind of like the family, and you relax and kind of bark orders at them like you do the dog and the children, and they really enjoy it and become relaxed. I found something that I think if you're going to have house guests, relatives or someone you don't know, I think it's really nice for them to know you really thought about having them in the home, whether you have had time to think about it or not. So what I do, and I think is that I learned this from a dear little pastor's wife in Welland Gardens, England. And she has a guest kit, she calls it. And if you have a little English accent, you can hear her saying guest kit. And I happen to have a drawer. We have a bedroom now that all my children are married. We have a bedroom for guests. And I have a chest of drawers, and I keep things in this drawer. But it's really nice for you to have something. It could be a box. It could be a basket that you have to keep put away or something. But in this guest kit, you should have a clean toothbrush. Maybe they forgot their toothbrush. Some deodorant, some pen, and some little notepad, stationery, a fingernail file or an emery board, just little things that they might have forgot or lost, and would make them realize that you enjoy having guests and you think about it in your home. And how many of you go places and get little samples of things? Those can go in your guest kit. Little shampoo samples. Always have a little bottle of hand lotion for them, because we have the driest climate in the world. and maybe not in the world, but it's drier than most places, and their skin, you know, goes like this when they've been here for a week. Have some lotion for them. Anything that you forget when you go places. How many of you have gone somewhere and you forgot something? Be sure and have that in your guest kit, okay? Whatever it is. And keep it so you can just pop it out, you know. And they really, really do appreciate the fact that you've thought about, that you enjoy having guests and you're prepared for them in your home. All right, now you're all set up and you're going to be a hostess with the mostess. And nobody calls. You don't. Your husband doesn't bring anybody home. Your kids don't bring anybody home. And you're feeling very frustrated because you're missing out on the blessings that you thought the Lord would give you. So what do you do? Well, I think we hinted to it when we talked about the aliens. There's somebody that's dying to be entertained in a home. How many of you have ever gone away to school? Did you get homesick and lonely and hate the food that you know, you get to just hating the dorm food or whatever? Wouldn't have you have loved to have gone into somebody's home and had just a relaxed evening of putting your feet up on the couch and having a sandwich or something, nothing fancy? Well, we live in a town where there's a college. I bet how many of you have a college in your town? I'll bet you if you called up that school and said, you know, I'm missing my kids. Is there anybody over there that would like to spend a weekend away from home? You'd probably be deluged for the next 6 months. And the Lord wants us to do this. And you can do, how many of you attend a church? You don't have to raise your hands. I assume you do. And there are new people, lonely people in that church. And they're not going to come up to you and say, I'm just so homesick and lonely. Would you invite me over to your house? They're not going to do that. But they're real easy to spot if you're aware of it and trying to look around, you know. You can see some, you know, you just watch next Sunday. There's a little couple, young couple, old couple, and don't forget the widows. The Lord says we must take care of them. They're the loneliest people in your church. Absolutely the loneliest people in your church, or the single gals or the single fellas, and you watch them come in. They're usually just on time. They'll come in a side door rather than the front door, if there is a side door. They'll come in and sit down, and they'll, when the service is over, up they get and right out that same door that they came in, and then they'll go home and say, that's the most unfriendly church, nobody spoke to me. And they're dying inside because they're lonely. And they don't know how to meet people or how to go out and say, you know, make friends. And so it's up to us to go catch them at the door before they get out and say, you know, what are you doing next Sunday? Wouldn't you like to come over after church and just have a sandwich with me? I know families that prepare, well, I don't know anyone right now. I did know a family that prepare sandwiches on Saturday night. That's all they have for Sunday noon. And whatever, they have to go with it, a salad. And it was a kind of a game with them to see who they'd bring home from church that looked lonely that day. You know, we've never done that, but it's kind of an interesting thing because we always, you know, have a lot of family and we do our entertaining in other ways. But that's something, if you've all set up for business and the Lord hadn't sent you anybody, well, that's something you could do. Just be aware of people's needs. And he's going to bless you for it. He really is. Some of the most interesting people that I've ever met and have been people that have come to, they've been, that I've entertained in my home that I really didn't know I was going to entertain ahead of time. I hadn't planned on it. They just were in town and they called from church and said, this fella's in, these missionaries in town or this couple's in town and they don't have any place to stay. Or my kids have brought people home, kids, their friends home, and you'll be amazed how the Lord will bless you in many, many ways, not only spiritual, but sometimes even material. These people that we visited in England are just because we had them in our home, and I got a chance to go, and so I visited them, and I got so much blessing out of it. And so the Lord's really going to bless you in a special way. He's going to bless your family in a special way. We now have 3 of our children are married, and they all have their homes. And my husband came home the other night, and he says, you know, one of our daughter's name is Pam, and one of them's Karen, and our daughter-in-law's name is Cheryl. And he came home the other night, and he says, you know, it's real fun going to the kids' house. They know how to run a house. They know how to have company and entertain. And, you know, he said, you know, Mother, they learned that at home. And that's going to happen to you. Your kids are going to be a blessing to you if they learned how to relax and be a hostess at home. So, and that's something I hadn't even thought about. That's just a blessing that's come up lately. Also, another thing is that you're going to use your own things. I don't know how many of you had aunts and uncles, but I did, who had trunk loads of beautiful things they never used. They were saving them for something special. Do you know what I'm talking about? I have worn out a linen tablecloth. I have practically worn out 2 sets of linen napkins. But I've still got plenty more, so that's all right. But they were given to me as gifts, and I'm going to use them for the Lord. And you'll be surprised how much you enjoy using your own things. And I use my dishes, I use my crystal, and sometimes I have... And another thing that it totally amazed me, and I'm just going to say it, I'm sure none of you'd be guilty of this, but it totally amazed me that some people don't entertain because they don't have matching things. Has that ever occurred? Never occurred to me. But, you know, I'll put some people down in the library at a table, and they'll have things down there that don't match at all what the people in the dining room have. And I hadn't even thought about it, that that might be a hang-up. But if that's one of your hang-ups, forget it, because, you know, only the White House has matching things. And we pay for those, don't we? Okay. Another thing about our dry climate, if you don't use your china and crystal regularly, somebody told me that's a china and crystal expert. If you don't use it regularly, it dries out. The moisture gets out of it, and it'll break and get very brittle and will break very easily. It needs to be in soap suds and water every once in a while. Just so if you never use your good dishes, get them out and put them in a pan of soap sudsy water once in a while so they can absorb some more moisture and they won't break as easy. So that's just a little tidbit. So these are just practical things I have found about sharing your home with other people. And I'm sure I can tell by some smiles on my faces here that many of you have had similar situations. And I just thought it would be fun. We've already used up an hour here. I thought it would be fun if, in closing, we just share with each other. And I would like to learn some more things, and maybe what you say will remind me of some things. But I would really like for us to share with each other, because that's the way we learn some things about your home and how you've used it that have been a real blessing to you, and maybe something that the Lord has worked out for you that you didn't think would work out, and that you've been just specially blessed by. There is one other example in the Old Testament that I was going to read at this time, but I don't think we'll take the time. It's in 2 Kings, and it's with Elisha. Never know which of it's Elijah or Elisha. And the Shunammite woman, how many of you know that story? That's a fun story, isn't it? This little lady entertained Elisha and in her home, and he stopped by, and she fed him. And then she said to her husband, you know, I would just like to make a little room, a little spot upstairs where when he comes by, it would be his, and he could feel at home. And she was just doing it out of love because she loved the Lord and she knew he was a holy man of God, and she just wanted to make him more comfortable and feel welcome in her home. And from what I've read about the background of the homes and the the way that people lived in those days, I'm sure she had a very, very humble, small home. It was probably kind of an attic room they fixed up, just an attic little place for him. And it was her guest room. And then the blessings that she got from that. She was a barren woman and had no children. And this holy man of God, because of her love and what she had done for him out of love, assured her that she would have a son, and she did. And then this son became ill, and this holy man of God brought him back to life. And she had no idea when she, just out of love, wanted to make a place for him to feel comfortable. But the blessing she received in return was just tenfold of what she had given out. So why don't we just open it up now, and you share something. I'm sure you've been thinking of things. Just for a little bit.
Mm-hmm. I haven't checked quite a bit, and I guess the thing that I've identified most with you, which is a nice thing from you, from there was a time my husband was a minister, and there was a time when I did not feel like I had an adequate thing with you, when I say not enough.
Mm-hmm.
And through the years, God has blessed me so much with people just giving me like 12 place settings of child. Mm-hmm. And things like this, just, you know, I want you to have this. And people really love it when you use the things you have. And I find that the best way to put them in is like you said. I say, oh, God gave me that.
Mm-hmm.
And people love to use nice things. They like to be entertained. And they feel at ease when they feel like it is a gift.
That did y'all hear her? That the Lord has enabled her to entertain where at first she felt like she really couldn't do it.
Oh, I did it, but I didn't ever feel like that I could do it on the scale.
I see, the scale that you wanted to. That's neat. It really is. Would anyone else have anything they'd like to share?
Mm-hmm.
You know, the people in back can't hear when you talk forward, can you? So if you'll just stand up and turn around, okay?
I'm church sponsored in the ocean, and I have been very happy to have him over in my home. I think I should have satisfaction or more than they do. It's just really great. I have a youth mother. They are 18 and 19 years old, and my girl doesn't speak English. One morning she came over at 4 till 7. And you know, I'm still my bathroom. And I thought, well, she's here, she must want something. And then she came out and she looked at my stove and she said, no, fine. Well, I have records. Well, I thought her gas wasn't working. So I go over and her gas is working. So I guess she was comparing it, I don't know. Because the next morning she appeared at 4 till 7 again. And I think it was just, you know, he's lonesome because he had gone through. But it's just really great that you have a chance to share your home with him.
And she brought up something that I didn't say. You're going to have different size groups in your house. I've had, you know, 60 for dinner and I've had 8 for dinner. And they're all, it's handled differently. But you just be willing to share what you have, and it's so fun. You know, don't be afraid to use your best china. You know, go ahead. That's what it's for. And if you don't have any, the Lord will give you some. Amen. So.
I have something to share. She and I have a woman in life. She made this little room on top of the light. She put four settings in the bed, the table, the candle, and the chair.
Mm-hmm.
And these are similar things that we should have in our home of hospitality. A bed is a symbol of rest and glory. Our people who come to find rest and glory. A candle is letting the light of the Lord shine through you. And the table is a feast upon the word of the Lord. And the chair is the sitting and learning. I one time entered a couple when I was here. black couple, and he'd been in my home, and his wife came over to me. And the morning that they left to go back to Fort Worth and go home, they sat down and said, we just want a breakfast in the world. And we want to share it. Do you want to eat? And that's what he wants. And they really weren't earnest. They refused to eat breakfast. They wanted me to sit down and share it with them the word of God.
Did you all hear that?
And so this has been just another need for this community. So I was telling her her food was going to be
That's, and I touched on that in the beginning and meant to touch on it more later, and I forgot. So the Lord, you know, the real reason I think I said earlier for us opening our homes for the Lord is our chance to be a witness and to share the Lord. So have the Bible by the in evidence. We have them. We have a kitchen corner, and we leave our Bibles there where we do our Bible study. They see that Bible handy. They're going to ask maybe some questions. It's very handy for you when they ask you questions. Just say, well, let's see what the Bible says about it. So, you know, it's just a super way in to witness, and it works that way. There have been many a night we've been sitting around our kitchen table, dirty dishes all over the place, pushed aside, and just reading things in the Word of God. It's a super way. Entertain.
Mm-hmm. Well, wrong with this, the extended hospitality, our home just really remained to go for the new Christians in our church. And we have quite a few that come in our large university division. And we invite them for either dinner or a evening meal. And it's always a neat time, not only when we learn about fellowship with the body and to encourage. But they have an opportunity to share and to really shift into the word that they're so hungry for. You know, a new Christian really will show up all the time. There's a love there. All the new things they learn. And it gives them a chance to do this and also to meet other brothers and sisters and they can start a religious fellowship.
That's a super ministry.
At times, I don't even need a good issue. I just use paper stuff in my, or the red earrings, and put it back on, or so.
You just have to roll with the punches and use what's right for the time, right? In a deal like that, they would feel uncomfortable with the good dishes. Yeah, they'd feel much. So you just have to use your head and common sense. Anything else? Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm really picky about my house. And in the past, it's been really difficult for me to meet anybody in a room. Everyone was letter perfect. But then it got to the point that the only time where I sent anybody was when everything was in order. You know, people are happy out here. You know, I'm not as happy because my guests are happy.
It really is. And you will get to the point where you enjoy having them. It takes a while, but you will. And I'm not advocating that you go home and let your house just get terrible. The Lord is not a Lord of confusion and disorder. She put her finger right on the heart of it. You know, it was a problem with her. And the Lord's working, dealing on that with her. It really helps, doesn't it, to have everybody share in what they're doing. And you'll remember when you go to other homes, you feel more comfortable when you just participate. And I'm really, you know, the kitchen is where I live, and that's where I feel comfortable. So I let the other people do the gossiping, and not the gossiping, the talking in the living room. I feel comfortable in the kitchen. So, anything else?
This is something that came to mind. Because I'm single, and so for a long time I thought, there are people who are entertaining and being a couple. And, but God has really been faithful in showing me that even though I work full time, that I can still invite people into my home and have 30 kids from the university over to a taco dinner. And I think that was something I had to get over as a single, that, you know, it was okay as a
single to have guests. Very true. You know, I was married when I was still in college, so I didn't go through that period of getting used to being in an apartment or something by myself, but my daughters did. And it takes a, you know, they went through the same thing of feeling like they're, you know, you didn't entertain unless you were a couple, but that's not true.
Well, this is rather humorous, but I was one of those who saved pretty things.
Uh-oh.
One day I was showing a friend that had come over, and this was years ago, some of these nice things, and she said, "You do have a lot of lovely things. Charles II wife will really enjoy them."
Oh.
I did that, really. I started using them.
I assume she was a very good friend. Is there anything else?
Well, I had an experience. Our children, there were times we brought kids home and things, but this, during spring break, which lasts for 2 weekends and a full week, my daughter called them out before they come home and said she was bringing in a foreign student home because she had no place to go. The dorms would be closed down. Well, I wasn't. You know, I said, of course, it's fine. But, you know, inwardly, I went, oh, you know, I had many things that I thought we'd do, but you know, after she got
after they get there, huh?
And you felt like, and she was getting to know her. But I could say at first it was my first reaction. I didn't want to try that on. But I had other things to find this week.
And I hope you don't get the impression that I'm always just smiling and saying, oh boy, we're going to have company, you know. Sometimes it hits me that way too. Oh no, why now, you know. But those are the times when the Lord will especially bless you. It may cost you too. Sometime it may cost you. My daughters went to school in California, and so one, because she'd grown up the way she had, when she called me and she says, "Mother, can I have everybody on campus that can't go home for Thanksgiving over for a dinner?" It's a small school in Santa Barbara, and there were about 20, 25 kids that weren't going home, and she was one of them because it was too far. I said, "Well, Pamela, I think that's nice, but you can't afford it." And she says, "Well, I was thinking that you would let me use a master charge for that." She had one for dire emergencies. And I says, "Oh, all right," because I knew you could never use a master charge in a grocery store, but there in California you can. And so not only did we have a nice big turkey dinner in California that we never attended, but I got at least a dozen calls, no, I think half a dozen calls for recipes before it was all over. "How do you make this salad, Mother? What do you do about the dressing?" And you know, so, but it was fun. We often talk about Pam's Thanksgiving dinner. And those kids ate for one whole weekend on that. She had so much food that she was house-sitting, and she had gotten permission from her parents, the people she was house-sitting for, to have this dinner. And that, they all talk about Pam's Thanksgiving dinner. They had food for the whole weekend. And so it was fun. So it may backfire on you once in a while. Well, if there's nothing else, does anybody else have anything they'd really like to share? You know, there are whole books written about how to be a host and hostess and how to be hospitable. And I confess I haven't read any of them. But I really believe that the Word of God is the best book you can use, because the attitudes that you live through life are what you learn from God's Word. And He tells us that we must have love one for another. And that's all in the world it's all about. It's just loving people around you and wanting to share that love. And sometimes it doesn't come easy, and sometimes it's not convenient. And sometimes you'd just rather be doing something else. But the Lord never shortchanges you, never. And He always gives you, you know, tenfold what you give Him. So your time that you spend preparing for guests and entertaining is really a gift to the Lord. And He will certainly take care of His gift to you in return. Thank you. Thank you, Bess. That was really an enjoyable time and a lot of good ideas and a lot of stimulation and motivation, I'm sure, for each one of us. Let's just have a time of prayer together to have the Lord seal to our hearts some of these principles and also some practical ideas that we might take home with us. Father, we thank You that You have called us Your temple, that You dwell in us, and that we're the temple of the living God. And we want our inner homes to be hospitable toward You, and our inner lives to be friendly and warm and a place where You feel at home and relaxed. And then our own homes, whether it's a dormitory room or an apartment or a home, we want our own homes to be filled with Your love and love for others that come to our homes. And we thank You today for these thoughts from Bess, from the principles from Scripture, and from the principles from the examples of people who have been hospitable, who have gone out of their way to invite strangers and to be friendly toward those who have come by their homes. And we ask You, Lord, to help us in each one of our own lives and areas to see the things that You want us to change, see the attitudes that You want us to change or to take on, and to help us to be little way stations to those who are lonely, those who need a home to relax in, those who want to come for fellowship. And we know that we can never outgive You, that You are no man's debtor. And You have told us that we should owe no man anything but love. And we pray that You would help each one of us to be channels of Your blessing in our own spheres of influence. Thank You for this special time together we've had now. In Jesus' name, amen.